Good morning, Faith Community Church. It is so good to be back together for worship again this morning. For our second service now, where we have two services this morning, and you know, my biggest fear coming into today is that everybody was going to show up at one time for one service, and we were going to have to turn people away, and the idea of turning people away from worship was just, I couldn't deal with it. But you all just managed to sort yourselves just perfectly. So thank you. You must have been on the phone calling each other, finding out when you were coming, but it just worked out perfectly. So thank you for that. At the end of the 9 o'clock service, I reminded them, you know, that it's been a few years since we've had two services at this church, but that we do want to remember that even though we don't get to see the people that were at the other service, that we are one church and that there are others worshiping here this morning. And so at the end of the 9 o'clock service, we had a prayer for all of you who will be here at 11. And so I want to return the favor now and have us all join in prayer for those who were here earlier this morning. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Gracious and holy God, we thank you for this opportunity to be together in worship in this hour. And we pray for those who were here for worship earlier this morning that they will continue to be blessed and strengthened through the service. And we pray that we will be blessed and strengthened through this service as well. Remind us that we are all one body in you, one church in you. Thank you for your grace that is upon us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is, of course, July 5th, and the beginning of July is the beginning of a new conference year, so this is kind of my anniversary with you, entering into my second year. My first year has been kind of interesting. It's been an interesting year. If you had told me at the beginning of last conference year that for more than the last quarter of the year, I would spend every Sunday morning staying home, I would have wondered what you were talking about or what was going on, but that's been the case. But it is so good to be back together. Again, I want to thank those who have kept things going while we have been closed down and been apart, those who helped with the online worship so that we could continue worshiping each week, even though we weren't together. Several of you were making phone calls to members week by week and just trying to keep everybody connected. And our trustees and many volunteers have been working diligently around the building, getting the building in shape and ready for this. And I thank them for that. And all of you that have been praying for one another and praying for the church, thank you for those prayers. We wouldn't be able to be doing what we're doing and continue in our faith if it weren't for those prayers. And thank you to those who have kept up on your financial giving. We've been blessed that so many of you have been faithful and diligent in keeping up on your financial giving. We are not passing an offering plate this morning, but there was a plate by the door when you came in. And if you missed that, there's a plate by the door where we will go out on this side, so you can drop off your offering this morning. We are getting ready for a new picture directory. If you haven't already scheduled your time to get your picture taken, you have an opportunity to do that this morning. There's a table out by the door where we usually enter into the narthex. You can stop at that table, sign up this morning. I want to assure you that the company that we're working with has procedures in place to make the picture-taking process as safe as possible. And there'll be a free 8x10 for everybody who participates, and we really want everybody who is part of this church family to be included in that directory. So make sure that you sign up for that. If you have any questions or need more details, you can call the church office during the office hours. Just a note on the singing this morning, we're going to be singing up here without masks, and we're kind of separated more than you are out there. We ask that you, if you want to sing along, and the words will be up on the screen, if you want to sing along, we invite you to do so, but we invite you to do so kind of to yourself, under your breath, keep your mask on. The studies have shown that singing out loud and projecting projects the virus much more than just speaking with the masks on, and so we want to be as safe as possible, and so I want you to be able to sing, but just kind of do it quietly to yourself when we do that. And at the end of the service, we will exit out the north doors, and the ushers will dismiss you just as they seated you. They will dismiss you at the end of the service, so wait to be dismissed, please, when we end the service. And now I invite you, if you are able, to please stand, and we're going to join in the call to worship, which will be up on the screens. Sisters and brothers, we come together to worship God who offers us freedom through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have not received a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Come, let us worship the Lord. We're going to sing together our hymn of praise, which is God of the Ages, verses 1, 2, and 4. We have so much to be thankful for this morning, thankful for this country whose independence we celebrate this weekend, thankful for the freedoms that we have, thankful for an opportunity to worship together in this place, and thankful especially for Jesus Christ, God's Son, who is our Savior. And so we are going to continue to sing in praise this morning as we give thanks to God in song. And I invite you to join me in prayer that you see up on the screen. Almighty God, you created us in your own image. grant us grace to fearlessly contend against evil and to make no peace with oppression. Help us to reverently use our freedom, employing it in the maintenance of justice to the glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians from the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 15, and I am reading from the Common English Bible. You are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only don't let this freedom be an opportunity to indulge your selfish impulses, but serve each other through love. All the law has been fulfilled in a single statement: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, be careful that you don't get eaten up by each other. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Unending love, amazing grace, unending love.
Let us bow now for a word of prayer. O Lord, our God, thank you for breaking the chains that had us bound in sin. You are the God and Savior who breaks every chain that would keep us from the life of blessing and fullness that you have for us. You have broken chains of illness. You have broken chains of oppression, broken chains of addiction. You've broken chains of racism and prejudice. You've broken chains of injustice. You have broken chains of evil. In you, our Savior Jesus Christ, we have been set free for a life of love, set free for a life of peace, set free for the eternal life of glory that you have waiting for us and for all who put their trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for that freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have in this country as we celebrate this 4th of July weekend, the independence of our nation and the freedoms that it brings us. Freedom to live by the light of your word and the dictates of conscience. Freedom to pursue you with our minds and in our hearts. Freedom to serve you and to serve others in your name. Freedom to worship you in this place and in every place. Lord, do not allow us to take our freedoms for granted, nor to use them for selfish ends, but to glorify you in all things. We pray for your protection upon those who serve this country to keep us free. Thank you for the sacrifices that have been made and that continue to be made for us. Make us ever grateful and always ready to give of ourselves for others. Lord, we cry out to you now for those who continue to feel bound in any way. For those who are bound by illness, we pray for your healing grace. For those who continue to be harmed by racism, we pray for justice and for true equality and for the precious value of every one of your children to be realized, no matter their color or ethnicity or nationality or language. Make us truly one in you, Lord. For those who continue to be bound by addictions of any kind, we pray for release. For all of us who continue to be plagued by sin, we pray for forgiveness. Not only forgiveness, Lord, but we pray that you would make us over in your image and perfect us in your love. It is because of nothing but your great love for us that we are able to come before you with these petitions. It is because of nothing but your great love for us that you have chosen to redeem us in Jesus Christ. And so it is in his name that we offer you this worship and this praise and these prayers, as we offer to you now the prayer that he has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us join together in our prayer chorus, Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of
I saw this quote online this week. In the Facebook post that I saw, the quote was attributed to Dr. Anthony Fauci. I did a search to try and find the source and the context of the statement. I came up empty when it came to Dr. Fauci. I don't know if he actually said it or not. If he did, he was probably quoting someone else. I did see the quote online a lot. It seems that a number of people have used it over the past few years, and it seems to date back to the title of a magazine article from about 3 years ago. Now, that magazine article was a political article, and I'm not advancing the politics or the assumptions of that particular article. What intrigued me, though, was the sentiment behind the quote itself. I don't know how to explain to you that you should care for other people. The idea that some people need to have it explained to them that we ought to care about others. It would seem to be self-explanatory in any civilized society, but it's not always. It's not always self-explanatory that we should be concerned for other people. It would seem even more so in a Christian community, in a church. You would think it would be entirely self-explanatory to us that we should care about other people. But the truth is that even we Christians sometimes need to be reminded. We are human after all. Even though we battle against it, we do still have that sinful nature. We're surrounded by a hedonistic culture. It's easy for us to get wrapped up in that worldly mindset that says, give me what I want. We need to be reminded time and time again that me first is not the way of God. Me first is not the way of Christ. Self-sacrificial love is the way of Christ. Service to others, caring for other people, is the calling of any person who would claim to follow Christ. So although I don't know how to explain to you that you should care for other people, I have to remind you that as Christians, we must care for other people. It is our divine calling in Jesus Christ to put others before ourselves. Don't feel bad, though, if you don't always remember that. It has been the case throughout the years that Christians have not always remembered that. The letters of Paul in the New Testament are a testament in and of themselves of the fact that Christians from the very beginning of the church have had to be reminded from time to time that what we want for ourselves is not to be our primary concern. Caring for others is to be our way of life. Different letters of Paul are addressed to different communities facing different concerns, but in almost all of them, he addresses the issue of Christians disagreeing with one another and having arguments and dissensions and even divisions between Christians, something that he says should not be happening, but something that obviously was happening, and something that obviously still is. The letter to the Galatians, from which we get our scripture focus for this morning, is all about freedom. As was the case in many of the Christian communities at that time, there were dissensions between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. The original Christians, of course, were all Jewish. The 12 disciples were all Jewish. The first believers in Jerusalem were all Jewish. Even the Apostle Paul was Jewish. They have been living according to the Jewish laws, the law of Moses, all their lives. The law was more than just a set of rules that they followed. It was their identity. It expressed not just how God wanted them to live, but who God called them to be. When they proclaimed Jesus as their Messiah and accepted him as their Savior, that didn't change the fact that they were still faithful Jews who continued to live according to the law of Moses, just as they always had. But as the gospel spread out into the world, and others who had never been Jewish responded to the truth of Jesus Christ, that threw into question the relation of a Christian to the Jewish law. Gentiles of all ethnicities and nationalities were hearing the gospel and responding to the truth of Jesus Christ. They were being saved in his name. They were committing themselves to his kingdom. They were being brought into the church. But they had nothing to do with the law of Moses. And as far as they were concerned, the law of Moses had nothing to do with them. For the Jewish Christians for whom the law of Moses meant everything, that was a problem. So some of them started going to areas where there were lots of Gentile Christians, and they preached to them that in order to be Christian, you had to become Jewish. They preached the importance of keeping all of the Old Testament law. They preached the importance of circumcision. That couldn't have been an easy task, to convince a full-grown man that he needed to get circumcised in order to be saved. Ouch. But that's what they were teaching. And apparently it was working, especially in Galatia. There were lots of Gentile Christians who were convinced that they had to be circumcised and follow all of the Jewish law in order to follow Jesus. That's the issue that this letter to the Galatians is written to address. Paul wastes no time in getting to the point. Usually in Paul's letters, after the greeting, Paul has this section of thanksgiving where he praises the believers to whom he's writing. Maybe he praises them for their faithfulness or praises them for their perseverance or maybe for their generosity or for ways that they have blessed him and served him. Not to the Galatians. There's no thanksgiving section in this letter at all. No buttering these people up. After the greeting, Paul gets right to it. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ to follow another gospel. It's not really another gospel, but certain people are confusing you, and they want to change the gospel of Christ. The Galatians had deserted the truth that they had received from Paul, and they were following another way, the way of the law. Paul goes on in this letter to make the case that living by the way of the law is contrary to the gospel of Christ. The law keeps us bound, but the gospel of Christ sets us free. Salvation does not come from keeping the commandments of the law. If it did, then Christ wouldn't have had to make the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. Christ made the ultimate sacrifice of himself on our behalf because we couldn't save ourselves through keeping the law. Because of our sinful nature, we are bound to break at least some of the law, at least some of the time. And if we break any of the law, any of the time, then we are bound by death. Death, which is the just punishment of sin. Therefore, we are, all of us, Jew and Gentile alike, all of us are in need of a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the righteous one who fulfilled all the just requirements of the law. Jesus Christ is the perfect one whose faithfulness to God is our salvation. Jesus Christ took the punishment of sin so that we could receive the promise of life, even though he had no sin himself. Even though he was perfectly righteous, perfectly loving, he took our sin on himself. And with him, all of our sin was nailed to the cross. In him, our bondage to sin was broken. In him, our bondage to death was brought to an end. In Christ, we are set free. Set free from sin and set free for eternal life. For freedom, Christ has set us free, writes Paul. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Stand firm, then, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. If you have already been set free by Christ, why would you then bind yourself to a law that was powerless to save you in the first place? If the yoke of Christ has set you free, why would you submit yourself to a yoke of slavery, a burden that God never intended you to carry in the first place? Galatians is all about freedom. It's about embracing the fact that our salvation is in nothing but the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Nothing that we can say, nothing that we can do. Christ alone is our salvation. And just receiving that one simple truth is all that it takes to set us free for eternity. And yet, that freedom is not a license for sin. The fact that we have been set free in Christ does not mean that we can then be self-centered and self-serving, thinking only about what we want and doing only that which suits us. Well, why not? If Christ frees us from the law, then why not go ahead and do whatever we want? If Christ frees us from the punishment of sin, then why not go ahead and keep on sinning? This is a hard one to explain if you haven't already begun to live in the truth. But the truth of it is precisely because Christ has freed us from sin that we cannot be content to simply go on living in sin. Someone who is content to live in sin is bound by sin. It is their own self-interest that drives them. It is their self-centeredness that is the focus of all their living. But when those chains to sin are broken, when that bondage to self is released, then we are freed to live by a different force entirely. Then we are freed to live not by sin, but by love. By love. The love that God showed perfectly in sending Jesus Christ, that love becomes our motivation. The love that Christ showed perfectly on the cross, that love becomes our driving force. Simply put, when we are freed from sin, we become bound by love. You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only don't let this freedom be an opportunity to indulge your selfish impulses, but serve each other through love. All the law has been fulfilled in the single statement, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, be careful that you don't get eaten up by each other. I think these verses have a special resonance for us today, especially in the American church. Freedom means everything for us. Freedom is our founding identity as a people. This weekend, we celebrate the birth of our nation. And what is that holiday called? Independence Day. Independence Day. On the 4th of July, we celebrate our independence as a nation. But I think for most of us, Independence Day is more a lot more than that. It's not just that nationally we are independent from Great Britain, but individually we are a free people. Independence is one of our highest virtues in this country. What is it that you learn to say as a child when someone else tells you that you can't do something that you want to do? It's a free country. This isn't Russia. This isn't China. This is America. We can do what we want here. You can't tell me what I can and can't do. This is a free country, and I'm a free person. Well, that might be true, but what do we do with that freedom? How do we use that personal independence? This is where our scripture passage and so many other Bible passages warn us, don't let your freedom be an excuse for indulgence. Don't let your independence blind you to the reality that in Christ we are all made into one community. We are all part of one body, members of one another, responsible to one another. We have been set free, yes, but we have been set free from our bondage to sin so that we can be bound by love to one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. If we don't do this, if we don't love our neighbor as ourselves, if we exercise our freedom in service to ourselves rather than serving each other through love, then the Bible tells us exactly what will happen. We will bite and devour each other. And that is exactly what we see happening in our society right now. Satan has seized upon this coronavirus pandemic as an opportunity to drive yet another wedge into our society, to enhance enmity between people, even between one Christian and another. Everything has become politicized, and politics creates enemies. I know there are all kinds of different opinions on our procedures for reopening the church. Some people won't come back if we require masks. Others won't come back unless we require masks. Some people won't come back if we have a limit on numbers. Others won't come back unless we have a limit on numbers. Some people won't come back if we're singing. Others won't come back unless we're singing. Some are dead set against being in the sanctuary. Others are adamant about wanting to be in the sanctuary. Now, having those differences of opinion is not a bad thing. But when we start to squabble about those things, when we start to harbor animosity towards one another, towards other Christians about these things, when we start to build up camps around these things, I have to tell you, I think the devil looks at that and smiles. When we allow differences of opinion to become our defining identity, that's exactly what the enemy wants us to focus on. If he can get us more up in arms about our individual freedoms as Americans than our mutual responsibilities as Christians, then he is winning the battle for our souls. If I care more about being right than I do about showing love, then I have failed the litmus test of the Christian faith. Now, I confess to you right now that I don't necessarily know what's right when it comes to responding to the coronavirus. I've said that before. I said it on our very first week of online worship. And now here we are 3.5 months later, and I'm still not certain. We still learn as we go. But I also said on that first week of online worship, and I reiterate it now on our first day of returning to in-person worship, that whatever we do, whatever decisions we make, have to be guided by love of others. They absolutely must. That is non-negotiable when it comes to the church. When it comes to living out our Christian faith, we must be absolutely clear that what we are doing is being guided by love. That's why we're requiring masks. Not because everyone is in absolute agreement on the efficacy of masks. They're not. Not because we're unconcerned about your freedom as an American to worship without a mask. But because with the information we have available at this time, it seems that having everyone wear a mask greatly reduces the risk of spreading the virus from one person to another. It's as simple as that. We put up with the personal discomfort for the sake of loving others. That's why we're worshiping in a space that is more open and can be more thoroughly cleaned than the sanctuary. That's why we're keeping families spread apart from other families. That's why we're not passing out bulletins or passing around offering plates. We are free to open up the sanctuary for worship, to sit right up next to each other, to sing out loud with unmasked faces. We would be free to do that. We might even want to do that. But the Bible warns us, do not use your freedom for selfish desires. Well, now, wait a minute. Are those really selfish desires, you might ask? They are if they take priority over doing what is most loving for your neighbor. If not getting to do those things causes us to bite and devour each other, that is always the test. What is your motivation? Is it what you want? Or is it what will demonstrate love? We have a choice. We have a choice as to how we are going to respond to this moment. If we choose to focus on ourselves, then Satan will use this moment to drive a devastating wedge into the church. He will have us biting and devouring each other until there is nothing left. But if we choose to focus on showing love, if we are willing to make some personal sacrifices in order to show that we are indeed concerned for others, if we adopt that Christ-like attitude of service, then God will use this moment. God will use this moment to build up his church. God will use this moment to have us joining together and strengthening our faith and strengthening our witness beyond what we have ever seen. We have a choice. Do you know what that choice is called? Freedom. freedom. Freedom in Christ. We are freed from selfishness so that we can live for others. We are freed from sin so that we can be bound by love. We have been set free by Christ so that we can live for God, so that we can truly, fully love one another. I pray that we will use that freedom as God intends. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to join me now in something a little bit experimental for our closing song. Ever since I decided to preach on freedom this morning, I've had this song, I Am Free, going through my head, and I thought, you know, we really need to use it this morning. The problem is that it's a contemporary song written for a band, guitars and drums, and well, we don't have anybody to play the guitars and drums right now, so we're just going to do it ourselves. I'm going to sing a cappella, but I'm going to need your help because the drums are kind of important on this song, so I'm going to have you helping me out as the drums, all right? So if you're able to stand, I'd invite you to stand, and here's how this is going to go. I'm going to give you a beat to clap along, and I'll sing the verses a cappella, and then the chorus is a call and response, so you can just repeat after me on the chorus. But for those who are kind of towards the back of the room, I want you to clap this beat with me. Go ahead and clap with me in the back. Okay, now keep that going. I'm going to switch it up, but you just keep that beat going, okay? In front of the room, clap with this beat. Now just keep that going. Through you the blind will see, through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise, through you all hearts will praise, through you the darkness flees, through you my heart screams, I am free. I am free. I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free. Through you the blind will see, through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise, through you all hearts will praise, through you the darkness flees, through you my heart screams, I am free, I am free, I am free to run. I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
I am free.
All right, good job. Thank you. Thank you for your help this morning. And we are free. We are set free in Jesus Christ. And let us embrace that freedom and let us live into that freedom, using it as He intends to bless and to serve others. Go in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please remember that the ushers will dismiss you, so you can be seated as you're waiting if you wish.